Joy to hear you sing, and hopefully singing a testimony, a living memorial that we act out what God has worked in. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, it is easy for us to see Israel's failure, their failure to trust you, their failure which demonstrated a lack of faith, but we are guilty of not always boldly following our Savior, of not always faithfully magnifying your greatness. You've commanded the church, the body of Christ, to never forget who you are, what you have done, and all this should cause us to trust and obey what you will do, who you are. We gather this morning to remember the greatness of our God, to remember the great works you have done, and we remember so that we will obey and give testimony. Make us pause today to ask, what do these stones mean? Help us to understand the text, but also to explore the application of it to our daily living. We need to pay attention to the path. And then we need to point others to the way of salvation, which is Jesus. Lest we forget, give us a fresh understanding of your surpassing worth, of our great duty to honor and obey. We do pray for health needs concerning Sandra Hundley and Tom Wilson, that you would reduce pain and strengthen them, but most importantly, to fix their eyes on their Heavenly Father, even through their great trial. Lord, we pray for Paniah Bible Camp. We thank you for this ministry being right in our backyard, as it were. We thank you for those who serve, those who from other states have a vision for the ministry there and rejoice what God has done and give of their time. And Lord, there are projects that are in the queue, that are lined up, ready to be done. We pray for the final funding of some of those, for teams to come and help with those, maybe permits and things that need to be done, and for the safety of those who work on those things. We pray for Greencastle Bible Church. We thank you for the ministry of Pastor Mike Wyatt and raising him up from some health problems that he's had recently. We pray for all of our missionaries, and I especially ask that you would provide for Bibles International and the translating that goes on, not just the translating from one language to another, but as some are trained to do, to go and show people how to use their Bible, how to read it, how to study it, how to share it. Thank you for your love and your patience, Lord, for your mercy and your loving kindness. And as you lead us in 2026, make us aware that we serve an almighty God. May your word be a memorial. May your word be a memorial to how you have provided in the past. And may it be a light to our path today as we aim to serve and love you more each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I mentioned we're using the same title, God with Us, and looking at chapter 3 and 4 as two main points of this message. So we're covering the second half of the message. So that means either last week's message was a real long one, or this week's is very short, getting it done in one lesson. You know, we forget sometimes, we're so used to our bridges and our overpasses, and you don't give a thought of that unless, oh, it may be icy conditions. or you're coming off the freeway and it says exit speed should be 35 because it's a sharp turn, then you think about it. But other than that, we don't sit around saying, thank you, Lord, for these bridges. Most of us can't remember a time when there, well, all of us can't remember a time when there were no bridges. But 150 to 200 years ago, it was quite different, wasn't it? Every bridge was a hazard, a life-challenging hazard. On June of 1844, a man by the name of Albert Dodd, who was one of Illinois' most promising lawyers. He was Yale taught, and he had returned back to his native state of Illinois, and he was coming from Bloomington to Joliet. Ken, do you know where that's at? Some people from the Indiana-Illinois area know Bloomington, Illinois, Joliet. And he's returning from a political rally, as it were. And before him was the Mackinac River. And the bridge had washed out, which was not before concrete and all that. That was not unusual. And so he started crossing with his horse. And people who watched him reported, and it was put in the paper, that Dodd had not gone out 30 feet until his horse was swimming. And when he reached the main channel, either by his horse losing his balance or by the rush of water, Mr. Dodd was swept away from his horse and was drowned. He was found a day or two later, several miles downstream. We think, boy, what a tragedy. That was not unusual. Reliable bridges, safe crossings. And here we've got the people of Israel lined up to cross, and then they cross. By the way, some songs take Jordan to be a metaphor for death and Canaan to be a picture of heaven. I think that you think through that, that's a little bit flawed with some problems, especially as they go into Canaan there to fight for their land. And I don't know that I'm going to fight for my house in heaven. I think there's some problems with that picture. But Joshua 3 had the picture of people, the instruction to people to consecrate themselves. And then they marched to the edge of the river. And here in chapter 4, as was read for us, as the priests go out, the waters part, then they cross over and they build this memorial. You can almost see in your mind, I said last week, well, how long did it take? 8 hours? 20 hours for 2 million people to cross? And the priests are holding the ark during that whole time? There are several things that we can pick up here, but chapter 4, I want to mention before we get into the weeds, is not given chronologically. It's as if the writer who chronicles this is intent on showing God's purpose and God's power, and he'll describe some of the action and then rewind it and then pick it up again and pointing out the demonstration of the Lord's power. So sometimes you get to you say, well, didn't we already cover this? Didn't it already say that? Yeah? That's part of the intent here. Let's look first of all at Roman numeral 2 at the spiritual commemoration. We looked at the significant crossing last week, the spiritual commemoration. By the way, would you agree with me that those 40 years in the wilderness were not wasted years? They were part of judgment, and yet there was there were a lot of lessons about leaning on the everlasting arms, dependence, submission, rest. Because I was thinking of this message through this week, I noticed every time I drove around somewhere with my wife, I saw markers. I saw a marker for Westerville. I saw a marker for underlying power lines. The difference between a marker and a memorial is a memorial marks out, points back to a significant event that should be remembered or noted. By the way, some of those things can be quite interesting. I several years ago in California, with some men that I knew and loved, we got on our motorcycles and we would go to different cities. We went to a little place called Hornitos, California. Never mind, you haven't heard of it. It's just a dot on the map. It had significance in the West. We stood there and looked at one marker, that memorial sign that said, here's where the famous bandit Joaquin Murrieta dug himself out of the jail with a spoon. The one that I took note of is it said, right here, and the walls were torn down. It was just an outline of maybe a 15 by 15 building. It said, here is where Ghirardelli came up with his recipe for chocolate. Now you have my attention. Memorials. What a society or a culture of people will put on their calendar to remember tells a lot about them. What they take off their calendar sometimes tells a lot about them. By the way, modern Israel is struggling to get its younger people to remember their history. It's kind of a postmodern, yeah, whatever, Holocaust, I didn't live through it. It's not in my lifetime. I don't see it. Let's move on. In fact, there are sometimes school trips where they will actually take them buses or plane loads of Jewish young people to Poland and places and say, here's where, look at some of these retaining areas here that where you were, our forefathers were locked up. Significant crossing and a spiritual commemoration. The first thing that I noticed as I was mentally walking through this point A, following the God who is with us. Verse 1 points us out when it says, when all the nations had finished passing over, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men. The Lord said, the Lord is with us. The orders of God through Joshua to the leaders, then through the people, is accomplished. You remember the instructions that God had given Moses, not Joshua, but Moses, decades earlier from Deuteronomy 31, from Numbers 32. He said that he would cross before them. He would be their captain. And even though God had given these great promises in Deuteronomy 31, Numbers 32, the people shrink back in a very faithless fear. God has promised to be with us. Hebrews 13, 5. Other passages that remind us that he will never leave us or forsake us. And he will do mighty things as we trust him and hold him to his word and obey him. Secondly, point B, in verse 14, I'm jumping out of order a little bit, but verse 14 says, and he said, on that day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him just as they stood in awe of Moses all the days of his life. It's easy to focus on the miracle of the waters that stood still in the river so the people could get across. There's something else that God did. And he points that out in verse 14. He gave them a leader like Moses to pick up where Moses had left off. This is another gracious work of God to provide the assurance that this man was used of God. Joshua was great because God was great and God had used him. Anything that you are suited to do and do well is because God enables. It is a gift of God. And the nation had stood in awe of Moses. But it was God who uses a weak vessel like Moses or a flawed vessel like Joshua. Had God given them a leader? Did Joshua stand up and say, I'm the one you should be in awe of. I can give you reasons afterwards why. Or was this a matter that when people looked at Joshua, he's reflecting the glory of God. Do we have a leader that we should be in awe of? Do we have a political leader that we should adore? I would say no, not in this sense. Do you have pastors that you should be in awe of? I know them both, and I would say no. We have one leader we should adore and stand in awe of, and that's Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation. And political leaders and church leaders who do a good job are only because they point to the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ and that we owe everything to him. Philippians chapter 2 says that God has given him a name and has highly exalted him. And so we worship and we adore the Lamb who is Jesus Christ today. Amen. Each of these songs that you sang, our gathering is not to pat each other on the back and show interest in each other, not that alone, but to look to Jesus. Look to Jesus, my friend. Point C. Most of the verses would fit under this. Establishing a testimony to the Lord's work among us. Establishing a testimony. That's what most of chapter 4 is about. Listen, as you get to an age and recognition fails you and memory fails you, that's sad. To not be able to recognize a face, to not be able to remember what you had for breakfast this morning. Some things that we are to remember actually keep us safe. I've been knocked off a ladder trying to wire a light in a bedroom one time. I've never gotten on a ladder or touched a wire since. Oh, that's not true. But I have a healthy appreciation because I remember that event. In verses 2 through 3, we see this taking a collection. Back in chapter 3, verse 12, 12 men were to be chosen. Now in chapter 4, in verse 2, their duty is spelled out. And they were to retrieve 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, near where the priests were, and to carry them and set them, chapter 4, verse 3, chapter 4, verse 20, in Gilgal, which would be the beachhead city where they would begin. A couple years ago, my wife and I flew to California for the funeral of my mother. And while we were there with one of our sons, we were able to go to Millerton Lake to see the little church that was the very first ministry that first pastorate. We went, hiked around, did some things. And at a certain point, my wife, being my wife, wanted to remember, also thinking, well, we may not be in California again. So she stopped and picked up some rocks. That is not one of the rocks. This is a rock over by our trash can outside here. I remember where I got it. But I know this is not the rock because the rocks were bigger than this, for one thing, that my wife picked up. And she got stopped at customs when we tried to get on the airplane. I hope I never forget the look of the guy's face as he stops her and opens, can we open up your suitcase? He pulls out these two rocks, one bigger than the other. And she said, I just want to remember. Well, you can take the smaller one, but you can't take this bigger one. Oh, okay. I don't know what she was trying to remember, but I remember that event. But I don't want you to think of small rocks. I want you to think that they picked up rocks that were probably big enough that they had to heft them on their shoulders. 12 guys walking with huge stones. I have a big stone that Dan Corey and I dug up from this church. He's smiling because he remembers we were working on a project outside here, and and I hit rock when I was digging, and I tried to get around it. Really, oh, this thing's pretty big. It's about as big as this pulpit. I dug it out, took it home somehow, power washed it, and you can see it when you walk up to my door. It reminded me of certain things, but it's largely decorative. But what a curious sight, especially if you were an enemy watching from behind bushes on the other side of the river, that 12 men who cross over walk back, pick up stones, heft them, and I'm going to make a point that probably two groups of rocks, not just one. I'll show you in just a moment. But secondly, not only taking up a collection, and they were allowed to carry those on the airplane with them, I guess, but secondly, making a memorial in verses 4, 5, 6, and 7. And all 12 tribes march across. And some of them they're dressed for battle, and they are, the nation of Israel is represented, all 12. They are not going to build 12 memorials. They're going to build one. I'll make a case for two. But they're building something to the testimony of the power of God. Not, we're Judah. This is our tribe. This is our memorial. But this is what God did. You know, today, the church should be unified. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 says that we are to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We should be striving together, not against each other, striving together for the work of the gospel and the testimony of Jesus Christ in this day and age. If you read in verse 9, there's a set of stones that are erected there where the priest stood. If you read verse 12, there's a set of stones that are carried to Gilgal, and good men differ. But I'm going to tell you which one I favor. It's either 12 stones were piled up in the middle of the river, and then from there, those 12 stones were carried to Gilgal, possible. And those who say that's the way, then the other view is ridiculous. I'm not that hard-headed on this, but it's very possible that you have stones that were carried to Gilgal that would be visible representation of what God had done, and stones that were erected right in the middle before the waters come back. You see, but the waters would go over it. Who would see it? Listen, behind the works of faith that you do, there should be an invisible faith that God sees. I remember years ago thinking, if the universe is that big, and God made these things for us to appreciate, why does it have to be that big? Because it declares God's glory. These stones were heaped up, and I don't know if under low tide or when the river went down, low tide, like an ocean, but when the river went down, if those stones still stood up, or if it was completely covered, but people realized right there is where we crossed, and right here is where God brought us to. So if you view this and read this and you come up that there's one pile, I'm sorry to disagree with you, but we'll probably both be in heaven. So what is the value of such a memorial? Because we read of memorial, this is not the first or last time. We read of memorials in Genesis chapter 31, in Exodus chapter 13, Deuteronomy chapter 27, and Joshua, we'll see it again in chapters 22 and 24. Is this an Israel thing? I'm not being disrespectful. This is a God thing. This is initiated by God to say, set up these stones that it might serve this purpose. And you notice, if we go back to verse 6, this is a memorial instructing whom? First of all, it says you. Verse 6, this shall be a sign among you. Who's the you? Well, the generation that's alive and helped set it up and watched it happen. And your children, who's that? That's the next generation. And then you get down to verse 24, and then it mentions, and that the nations, the people groups, there are several people that were to benefit from and be curious about this setting up of stones. What was the value? Two things you might put in your notes as far as a value of this memorial. One, it was to remind them, obviously. It was to remind them of his provision in verse 23. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we had passed over. And then in verse 24, it was not only to remind them of God's provision and power, but his power that they might fear him. Verse 24 goes on to say, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. True worship is not about coming and having my needs met. True worship is about his coming and being in awe of his greatness. Did we gather for that purpose today? We're not a church that can produce a light show and children's ministries and free resources and barbershop downstairs. And you know, there are a lot of things that we're not going to be able to do. But what we should do is we gather every Sunday, every Wednesday, we ought to walk away from here being in, God is good to his word. God has been good to me. God's got plans for this earth. God is going to come back to this earth in Jesus Christ and rule over all. Psalm 103:17 says, the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who, do you know the next two words? Fear him. So that connects with verse 24, that they might fear the Lord your God forever. A value of a memorial well done is that it should remind. A memorial where nobody knows why it's there. Why are these stones in a curious fashion out in Scotland? Who did it? What was it? A memorial? I don't know. That's not helpful to us. But the Word of God and the things that God has placed before the church, baptism, communion, his words, the covenants, these things are to be memorials where we stop and say, why do we do it this way? Because God is great, that we might fear him. Amen? The second reason is to announce to the unsaved that God is sovereign, as we saw in verse 24. Not just remind us, but to make an announcement, to make a statement. And everything about your life and my life should testify to the Lord. Our lives should be like memorials that point people when they say, why do you live this way? Why do I see your church backing, your car backing out every Sunday? Here's why. It's not just I go to a building, I have a club that we call a church. No, I have a people that I am part of, that we are redeemed. We've heard the term, here I raise my, what? Ebenezer. Remember what it means? Eben, the idea of rock. Ezer, not geezer. Ezer is to remember, a rock of remembrance, a place of remembrance. And each memorial set up in those passages that I mentioned was a testimony to the greatness of God, not just the obedience of the people. God provided. God did this. So you and I should be gathering sticks and stones and building memorials in our front yard. Yeah, that'd get people's attention probably. How many of you keep a journal where you, when you read God's word and answers to prayer and things that you've learned in God's word? Can I see your hands? How many of you journal? See, you're not the only one. Is journaling a way of remembering? Yes, it certainly can be. But we have, as I mentioned, memorials like baptism that signals my union with Christ, and the Lord's Supper that symbolizes my communion with Christ. But I would say that the word that you are holding in your hand, the word of God, is the ultimate memorial. That we should visit often and meditate on deeply. That is the word of God. What's the danger of a memorial? Have you thought of that? Well, isn't there a verse in Philippians 3:13 that says, forgetting those things which are behind? Which is it, Pastor? That's certainly not a verse that says, dismiss everything you've heard or learned. Paul was emphasizing in Philippians chapter 3 a dedicated focus on the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And it is easy. It is easy to dwell on the failures of the past. And Satan would love to paralyze your progress by having you say, but I failed. But the answer in Philippians 3, 7, 8, and 9 is keep your gaze on Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Psalm 103 puts it this way. David gave this instruction. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Verse 1 actually says, O my soul and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Verse 2 says, bless the Lord. It picks it up again, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. God wants us to remember his blessings. Yes, he does. Not just on Thanksgiving Day. Not just on Sunday. But to remember his blessings. And not just to remember, but that they become an aid to help us to live victoriously today. Not just to live in the past, but not to forget the past. I don't need to dwell on that anymore. But we know what this means. And we're to remember. And we're to give thanks. And what we remember and are giving thanks is to initiate, is to motivate us to obey again, that we may glorify God again. You see, the forward progress of a memorial is not well done, properly understood, does not just point to the past, but says, that same God is working today. That same God will provide for me in the future. During all the walking of that day, as people crossed, priests were standing. And then men go back and collect stones, maybe for one memorial, maybe for two. There's a lot of noise. There was a lot of excitement. But those priests stayed put. That's not easy. God was keeping the river waters back. And God was present with his people. By the way, the waters would resume their flow. I should go in order, but and the priest would come out of that river, but the stones would remain behind. The people weren't to say, you know what, we're to stay here at the river and just worship this set of stones. Failure. We're to go to Gilgal, but no farther, because we'll build our culture around these stones here. Failure. You're to remember and press on and possess the whole land and rest in the Lord. The same Almighty God who peeled back the waters and made them stand in a heap at the Red Sea and here at the Jordan River is the one who says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In the demands of life, in the demands of ministry, God is with us. Amen? In the difficulty through the trials of life, God is with us. As you carry your cross in identification with Christ, God is with us. I'll make this closing remark. miracles don't make believers. It's true. Miracles don't make disciples. Lots of people followed Jesus around and saw things that he did to water and to fish and loaves and making dead people rise and that didn't believe. The apostles were able to do some of those same things and even greater that Jesus gave them authority and a power to do, but not all that saw that believed. Faith comes by and hearing by the... Have you heard God's word? My wife and I grieved yesterday as she read a text message to me of somebody who used to visit our church for a while, who has since embraced some New Age beliefs that are incompatible with God's word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I hope you have embraced the gospel, the saving work of Jesus Christ. And you know what? You and I are to be, Peter put it this way in 1 Peter 2:5, we're to be living stones. That's interesting. Living stones, a metaphor for what it means to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. Living stones that point to the work of the gospel, that point to the person of Jesus Christ. So remember, maybe you forget what you had for breakfast. Maybe you forget somebody's birthday. But remember these four things. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember Jesus Christ, whom God raised from the dead. 2 Timothy 2:8. Remember the purchase price of your salvation, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And remember your duty as a disciple, a child of God. And we're not here, he didn't save us to settle in and be camouflaged and nobody know who we are. You should stand out on your block just as much as if you built a pile of stones on your lawn. That would get their attention. May the Lord help us to remember who we are, what he has done. May the Lord cause us to value him and follow him and say, not only do I remember, but that aids me to trust and obey. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes to the scriptures and our own need for that matter. The people of Israel followed the ark, and today we at Westerville Bible Church would deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Christ. Help us, as the Psalms say, to love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. We hold most preciously to the word of Scripture, the testimony, the instruction of the Holy Spirit. To this memorial, we come again and again, desiring never to forget the truth of God. The fact that God is with us, comforts us, energizes us. Help us this week to be imitators of God. Give us a strong testimony that shines bright in a dark place. We want, as believers at Westerville Bible Church, to walk as children of light, who try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Thank you for your sustaining grace this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.